26 on my third GQ cover. Your new shit sound like you do covers of all of my old shit, oh shit. I'm devoted to making sure that shit goes unnoticed. Swear you niggas is hopeless. I should run a clinic for niggas that think they winning on some coach.
My guy.
Ladies and gentlemen, what's good? Welcome to episode 96 of Speak On It. Who wore jersey number 96? We haven't done this in a long time. I think Derek Barnett wears 96. It doesn't matter. I'm your host, Danny Ocean, as always, joined by the smoothest man on the planet, Losty Mix. Love the bucket hat. How are you living on this beautiful Tuesday?
People, you already know when you see me with the bucket hat that's covering up the fate that's coming back. But you already know it could only be one brother, the good brother, Losty Mix. Danny, as always, it is lovely to be here with you, my man, on another Tuesday, another day in the office. I mean, man, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm doing all right. You know, I'm doing all right. I will say to all the homeowners out here, to all the people who deal in real estate, I'm really starting to understand why they say real estate is one of the quickest ways to wealth in this country. You know, it's funny when Kanye was saying that America was built on land. I think I'm now slowly starting to understand what he meant. Slowly starting to understand. And I'm starting to understand why Big T, when he's not being indicted in New York, he's making money off real estate. And
hey, dog, you know, did you see the picture of him like throwing up the fist before walking into the courtroom? That's a t-shirt.
What's funny is it is a t-shirt and an album cover. What's funny is I don't think Big T thinks he's doing a day in jail.
Oh, he not.
He not.
He rich. He white. He live in America. He ain't got nothing to worry about.
And but I don't believe Trump has as many enemies as people want. I don't think he has as many enemies as people think he does. I think more people rocks with him behind closed doors because he's helped out. I bet you he's helped out a lot of people. And I'm not talking just politics. Trump has probably helped out some drug dealers, some real mob folks, some real people in pinches for like a favor in return. And I feel like it's going to be returned.
That man ain't going. He going to jail just as much as we going to jail. I ain't going to jail. I
mean, yeah. Yeah.
Lord willing.
Yeah. My brother, how have you been though?
Oh man, we living over here. Work is going all right. It's a little intense right now, but you know, it's just a season. We'll make it through. Everything's good. Yeah. I have not roasted my own almonds. If anyone wanted an update from last week, still researching on how to do that efficiently. Oh, but I will smoke my own almonds.
Oh, brother. Yo. We have to, what is up with, listen, man to man, you cannot be out here publicly talking about smoking nuts, your nuts, or any type of almond nuts.
Why not? We know, but the people know what I mean.
Are smoked almonds really moving the needle like that, though?
The ones that I've had recently I've had the Blue Diamond Delicious. And then I had the Trader Joe's, but the problem with those is you toss them in vegetable oil before you season them, and vegetable oil is not the best. So I'm going to use avocado oil, and I'm trying to think of a spice mixture that isn't like high in salt, because I don't want like my blood pressure to go up. Like I'm trying to watch my sodium intake, so I got to figure out the combination. Like, how do I give that smoky feeling without, you know, the salt intake? So that's where I'm at right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, I just want you to know that I don't smoke any nuts, pause, and I don't smoke any meats, pause. So you smoke nuts and meats.
Yes, unpause me.
And people, he does not smoke weed, so.
I don't. You know, it's funny you mentioned that, right? A couple weeks ago, some of my best friends came over. Like my wife and I went to Portland doing his birthday, his wife planned like this big birthday thing. We could make it. So I was like, I'll make some burnt ends for you guys. Like, come over and hang out. And they smoke weed. So they were like in the back rolling up, like I'm just making dinner. And they were like, hey, yo, like, you know, hit the J. Dog, my chest hurts so much. I hit that joint once. And I was like, how do y'all do this? Like, I was coughing. Like, I was in pain. Like, what is it?
Smoke some nuts, though.
I mean, at least they taste good.
Yo, this podcast is brought to you. What? Son, does what?
That was too easy. Hey, yo.
This podcast, who is this podcast going for two? What's the promo code? Come on, man.
I'll take care of some housekeeping items while you gather yourself. As always, this show is brought to you by goingfor2.com. Head over to goingfor2.com for all your daily fantasy needs. Fantasy basketball is wrapping up. We're getting closer to the draft. Baseball season is back. Again, head over to goingfor2.com for all your fantasy needs. For all of you on the visual journey, if you look at the screen right now, you will see a QR code. Scan that QR code, head over to Underdog Fantasy, and get up to a $100 deposit match. And for those on the audio adventure, the promo code is GF2. That's G as in going, F as in four, and the number two. So again, head over to Underdog Fantasy, get up to a $100 deposit match. Promo code is GF2 as in going for two. Good evening, Gladys. Welcome to the chat. As always,
good, Gladys.
Drop all your thoughts in the chat. We're here to have fun this evening. Yeah, and we're done talking about smoking nuts.
Man, yeah. I feel like the smoking of nuts will definitely come back. Danny, today, though, it's going to be a lot of basketball talk.
Yeah, let's do it.
Basketball season. We're going to start off. We're going to start off talking about the NCAA, men's and women's. Then we'll shift into the NBA as we continue our look ahead to the NBA postseason. This is the last week of the regular season, so we'll definitely be able to get some thoughts on where we think this is going to shake out. And we might be able to give some premature thoughts onto who we think might win MVP and some other awards.
Yep.
Then we'll finish off our last block talking a little WrestleMania. That was honestly, that WrestleMania to me was the biggest and best thing that happened all weekend. But yes. You know, we'll talk, and then we'll talk a little bit of Hard Knocks. We'll talk a little bit of Formula One, and then we'll talk any other shit that just so happens to come to the mind while we're here. So where should we start first? Let's start in the NCAA, Daniel. Yeah. Start in the NCAA. This past weekend, or yesterday, really, Monday, was the culmination of the Final Four, the NCAA men's tournament, and on Sunday we saw the culmination of the NCAA women's tournament. Let's start with the women's tournament and what I believe was the best of the two NCAA brackets. So the Final Four, we saw LSU knock off Virginia Tech. It's still go Hokies around here. It's a hell of a game. Wow. What the hell can you do when someone goes on a fourth quarter run like that? But nonetheless, LSU beats Virginia Tech in the first Final Four matchup. And then to everyone in America's surprise.
Yes.
Iowa knocked off South Carolina and seemingly did LSU the biggest favor in the world by ensuring that LSU could not play the more physical and the more deeper team in South Carolina. We saw Iowa beat South Carolina in the Final Four. Then in the national championship, it was LSU versus Iowa. Let's just say, start to finish, that was bully ball beatdown. That is what happens when skill meets physicality and athleticism, and sometimes physicality and athleticism just shuts all that shit you was talking about down. And LSU, they are now victorious. They are now national champions for the first time in program history. As Gladys mentioned in the chat, it was the most watched Final Four in tournament history, 9.9 million viewers. Danny, what are your thoughts on LSU's Final Four run? And additionally, what are your thoughts in general on the women's tournament?
I think you hinted towards it. It was a lot better and more interesting than the men's. And we'll talk about the men's in a minute. In a minute, I'll say in regards to the state of women's basketball, I think there's a lot of momentum because of this Final Four in this tournament run. And that's a big prop to all the stars. There's a lot of star power in women's basketball, and they all got a chance to shine and show out. I just had a lot of fun watching. Like the games were so intriguing. Friday night, my wife and I sat down and watched both games cover to cover, and she was interested. Sunday, like, we planned our whole day around watching the national championship together. Like, that's where we are, and it was just great to see. I think. I mean, we're probably going to talk about Caitlin and Angel in a second, but in regards to the Friday night games, the Final Four games, yeah, the LSU game was just, I mean, like the difference is night and day. No offense to Virginia Tech, but like it was just like Tech in the second quarter started hitting threes, and I was like, oh, like we have an upset special. But once they stopped hitting shots, like it was evident that LSU was a better team. the South Carolina Iowa game. Like, you talk about Caitlin Clark's crescendo. What a game. I've just, like, she looked them dead in the face and was like, you can't guard me. Like, I'm going to pull up from three. No one can, it doesn't matter. She waved old girl off. Like, she was, like, I don't know what it was about those black Iowa uniforms, but she turned into a heel, and it was beautiful to see. I'll say Sunday, for me, I knew it was over at halftime. Like, LSU hit, what was it, 8 threes? Like, Iowa tried to come back to a degree, but it's like, yo, you're down by so much. Like, Caitlin has to go nuclear, and I will say the officiating Sunday really put a damper on, you know, the game itself. But, yeah, Caitlin Clark would have had to go on nuclear. I mean, that she still had 30, which is insane, but it would have had to take all-time performance to come back. It was just a great game all around. Mm-hmm. Going back to what you said, Louisiana met Iowa, and Louisiana showed that they're Louisiana. So, like, I enjoyed it. I think women's basketball is picking up momentum next year. Caitlin Clark is back. Andrew Reese is only a sophomore. Paige is coming back for UConn after she tore her ACL. Like, there's going to be a lot of star power in the women's game next year.
Yeah. Now, I want to echo what you said. I want to give a big shout out to all of the lady hoopers, the women hoopers, because it was a lot of good star quality, not only just star power on the women's floor, women's tournament, but there was just a lot of sound quality basketball throughout the women's tournament that I was really, really pleased with, really surprised with. I feel like I would say that one of the biggest things I came away from the women's tournament saying is, like, look at the drastic differences in college basketball product between the men's and the women's. The women's feels like it's more modern, feels like it feels like it's a little bit faster paced, feels like there's a lot of both, there's a lot of showcase of both skill and athleticism. I feel like you're able to see a little bit more of an offensive package with some of the lady hoopers. Feels like in the men's game is a little clunkier. It feels like it's way more,
it's more individualized, in my opinion. Like, the women's game, like, they run offensive sets, they run plays. I feel like the men do too, but a lot of time, and I feel like this happens in the NBA too. A lot of the dudes rely on their athleticism and, like, their God-given gifts. Meanwhile, like, you could tell that. I know during the national championship game, I think Ryan Ruckel and Rebecca Lobo were, like, on the broadcast, like, breaking down, yeah, this is the kind of play that Iowa runs, you know, out of timeout sets to get Caitlin Clark, like, wide open threes, right? Like, they were kind of talking about that, so.
Yeah. Yeah, and in terms of the actual Final Four, I mean, LSU and Virginia Tech was just kind of the preview before the preview of the final, the national championship, right? Like, Virginia Tech, we came out, we were hot, we were running really good sets, hitting a lot of difficult shots. And to your point, Danny, it all literally came crashing down when shots stopped falling. And it was like LSU just had too much size. They were just like, you can tell that athletically, they were just overpowering both Virginia Tech. And then we ultimately saw it in the national championship against Iowa. It was just like one team was just way more physical than the other, and it was like, all right, once them shots ain't shot no more,
what you got
and, man, it was tough. And I just, one other thing that I kind of came away from this game, and you kind of alluded to it earlier, was, man, it's night and day coverage when black folks and black athletes get to talking that shit after a win versus white athletes when they get to talking that shit after a win. I'm a preface with saying Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese don't have any beef with each other.
Nope.
I feel like outside of the basketball court, they could probably be homies. On the basketball court, one place for LSU, one place for Iowa. Now, we at war. But, fam, listen, to anyone out here, because I feel like a lot of people who cover sports or speak on sports a lot have not played a sport either at a high level or have never won anything in their life.
Are you about to put a LeBron, like, after he lost the finals? Is this the press conference you're about to have?
Yes, because a lot of y'all didn't hear LeBron closely after that 2011 finals run when he sat and gave that conference, and he basically said, yo, a lot of people got to wake up and go back and do their same fucking life. A lot of y'all criticize when you either have not been an athlete or have not won anything. I've been an athlete and I've won things. So I know, first and foremost, that there is no sport on earth where there is no shit talking. And if there is a sport with no shit talking, keep me the fuck away from that sport. You know what that means? There's no pride in winning, and y'all don't have any killer mentality to want to win. If everyone's all buddy, buddy, nicey, nicey, then what are we out here doing? If ever, listen, I'm also preface this with, I hate participation trophies, and I don't think they're teaching people anything. All y'all want, everyone, like, to all you people who think Iowa and LSU should both go to the White House, kiss my ass, kiss LSU's ass. That's so disrespectful. That's so disrespectful.
Well, she walked that back today.
Who said that?
Jill. Jill walked that back today. She not invited Iowa to.
Damn right. And Jill, I know you're trying to be nice. You're trying to be friendly, you first lady. But Jill, you knew what she was. You didn't realize the can of worms you was opening by making that damn comment. Winners go to the White House.
That's right.
Winners go home. To the White House. That's what you spend those hard days, those two-a-days, all those hard practices. You tell your teammate, yo, we got to do this if we want to make it to the White House. If we want to see the inside of the White House, let's go out there and win a national championship. You don't win a national championship because you was out there. You don't win a national championship because you was out there, just out there participating. You know what I'm saying? And why is no one talking about how Caitlin was out there talking her trash too? Where was that at? Thank you, Gladys. So Gladys, for those who are listening to the audio adventures, is that wasn't the case, D. The case was a white girl was talking trash. Yes, she was. She was talking her cash money, too. And when she was winning, her talking her shit, you have to sit that. You got to eat that. Take that on the chin. But when you lose.
Pause.
Excuse me. Super pause. But when you lose, you can't expect for people not to throw it right back at you.
Dog. I think the funniest part about the whole thing was, yo, Angel Reese called her a hoe to her face at the free throw line and then hit the John Cena, then stalked her after the game, ring me, and did the you can't see me to her face. Like, she did it in her grill.
Like, if that's not the type of sports that people, fam, if you have been an athlete, you hearing this trash talk, that has to re. I was watching the trash talk, literally saying, "Hey, yo, dog, I want to start running again, just so I can get that feeling again." Dog. Even at practice, dog, we was shit talking each other at practice. Teammates, we was shit talking at practice. Me and my teammates talking shit to each other. So guess what we doing at the track meets too? We talking that shit too. If you lose, you lose. You got to admit, if you talk shit and you lose, then the better team or the better person or the better athlete won. But I guarantee you, if you talk shit, you are going to, if you're a smart athlete, not one of you bum ass athletes, if you're a smart athlete, you are talking your shit because you know that the hard work that you put in on a day in and day out does not go unnoticed and that you will die before someone beats you. And sometimes you are just not the better athlete that day, but that doesn't take it away. If you've been putting in the work, your hard work will still shine. Caitlin Clark played a hell of a game.
Yes.
Hell of a game. So while people are saying, yeah, Angel deserves to talk that shit, you know what they also got to say about Caitlin Clark? She played a hell of a game.
Yeah, she got 30. Hell of a game. She got 30.
What is the beef here, people?
Ain't no
beef. And another thing I don't understand is the media created this narrative. And then the media gets mad at the media for the media's narrative.
Well, that's certain media outlets. And for those, again, block everything boss barstool related and live a prosperous life. I'll say this, and I said, excuse me, I said this to my wife, sportsmanship is for children. Like, once we start playing games with stakes, like, I'm not here for sportsmanship. Like, sportsmanship is for Johnny's little baseball league where all of them are trash and we're just trying to teach them coordination. Mm. Like, when we start playing games that define legacies and lead to things that really matter. And for me, that's high school and up. Like, when we start playing for state championships, that can help me, you know, as I look for secondary education opportunities. Oh, no, we throw in sportsmanship out the window, dog. Like, I'm trying to win.
If I'm being honest with you, I think sportsmanship kind of goes out the window once you learn the fundamentals of any sport.
Yeah, like, that's middle school, high school. Like, once we start playing for championships that matter, that define me as an athlete, I don't care about sportsmanship. Mm-hmm. Like, because that's for children.
Because if that's the case, now mind you, when Danny and I say sportsmanship, you lose it after a certain, you know, after you learn the fundamentals, I don't mean that you go out there and disrespect the game or disrespect your opponent.
Right.
That's not what we're saying. That means that after you learn the fundamentals and you really develop your game or your craft in whatever sport that you're doing, you have to then develop a confidence in your abilities that allows you to go out there and step on the court or your field of play with a little bit of arrogance. Yes. Because any great athlete will tell you, yo, if you don't believe when you step out on the court, on the field, or wherever that you are the best, you should not be out here.
They will, your opponent will sniff it and they'll take advantage. So I have no issue. I thought both are just competitors. I think Caitlin Clark today said on ESPN, like, leave Angel alone. Don't criticize her. Because, I mean, let's be honest. If Caitlin would have won, she would have walked up to Angel and done the same thing. Like, if Caitlin had dropped another 41 bomb and a win, I promise you, I promise you, she would have been in Angel's face. Angel didn't square up to fight her. They didn't box. Yep. She just.
And this is, I think this is, to wrap this topic up, I think this is why media talking heads speak a lot to when they talk about the professional leagues, about how coaches can mend personalities together. Because when you think about pro athletes, now you're talking about the very best of the very best of the very best. So when they say, how do they make these egos work and who's 1A and who's 1B? This is why you're talking about the best athletes at their respective crafts in the world who come to these certain leagues and play. There's, as a coach, there's certain ways you got to know how to deal with these personalities and so on and so forth, which is why some people hated Michael Jordan as a teammate. Some people hated Kobe Bryant as a teammate. You know why? Because you wasn't getting away with some of that bullshit if you're on their team. Mm-mm. What did Kobe say? Why would I pass some of these motherfuckers the ball when they leave the gym after practice is done?
Tell them.
Is that not a bar or not? You got, look, it take a real killer on in an athletic field to understand exactly what Kobe mean by that. So
yeah,
shout out to Angel Reese, shout out to LSU Tigers, national champions. They can't take that away from you. Shout out to Iowa, shout out to Caitlin Clark. You guys played a hell of a game. Shout out to South Carolina and Virginia Tech too. You guys, all four of you teams really were the culmination of what I believe was one of the better Final Four runs and we've seen in a while. Now let's go to the other bracket, the men's bracket, right, Danny? So on the men's bracket, we saw UConn taking on San Diego State in the national championship, right? And before that, we saw San Diego State take on FAU and UConn take on Miami.
Yeah,
I'm gonna be honest with you. Here are my thoughts about the game. UConn was the best team when they left that bus. They were the better team on the court when they left the hotel. UConn was the best team coming into the Final Four when they touched down in the state of Texas.
Yep.
Nothing about what happened in the Final Four surprised me. After the Elite Eight, I kind of knew UConn was the team to beat. And if they handily beat Miami, they were going to handily beat whoever came out of Florida Atlantic versus San Diego State. So now I'm going to talk more so about the men's tournament. Everyone who wanted parity, again, like we said last week, This is what you get when you want parity in men's college basketball. You get you get San Diego State, you get Florida Atlantic, you get Miami, and you get UConn. So to anybody who spent the last 48 to 72 hours complaining about these Final Four matchups, or maybe you didn't even watch the men's Final Four because the matchups weren't fire enough, I'm going to remind you again, this is what parity in men's college basketball looks like. This is what parity in men's college basketball looks like. I saw a lot of people on my timeline saying, yo, if this is what happens when everyone in college basketball is decent, take me back to the blue blood area.
Yes.
So, and now I'm going to take a step back to you college football fans who say, SEC, what's so good about the SEC? Why SEC? Why? This is why. A lot of people out here probably wanted to see what? UCLA versus maybe UConn or something like that. Hey, dog. This is what happens when you get parity in men's college basketball. So I'm going to ask y'all out here, is this really what you want?
No.
It's not. Yo, the MLB is better when the Yankees are always good. The NBA is better when the Lakers and Knicks are always good. Lakers, Knicks, and Celtics are always good. And now the Warriors. I would say the Warriors are in there too. The NBA is good when those teams are good. The NFL is a fucking cash cow when the Cowboys are good. Or I'll take a step back. The NFL is a cash cow when all four teams in the NFC East are good.
There we go.
It's a, you know why? Because there are certain markets that the NFL knows when they're good, or when, not even just the NFL. Well, let's stick to the NFL. There are certain markets the NFL knows when those teams are good. Whoo, boy, we cooking. The NFL is right now just waiting on the Raiders to be good, and they know it's up. They know it's up. They know it's up. So parity in college basketball is, it gets us a Final Four like the one we just had. And I'm going to tell you right now, I didn't watch a minute of the Final Four for the men's. Don't think I even missed out on much. When I was keeping along with the scores, like I followed along like live play by play. I said, oh yeah, no, I'm not interested.
The San Diego, Florida Atlantic game, the ending was great. That's the only thing good for men's basketball.
I did see the ending of that, which wasn't bad. But then again, that's because, it's hard to keep a lead in men's basketball. It's hard to keep a lead in any basketball, especially college basketball, when it's two halves and it's clunky the way it is. Like, as soon as you start missing shots and the other team starts making them, now you guys got a basketball game again. So,
yeah.
Man, I just came away from the men's Final Four saying a couple things. One, congratulations to UConn. Well-deserved. I think that's 5 national championships. What was that, 3 or 4 this decade or this millennium?
This millennium, yeah.
So UConn is slowly turning into a blue blood on the men's side, which is dope for college basketball. I think if the men's and women's programs both get good, UConn's going to be cooking with extra Crisco. But other than that, man, that's all I had for the men's. What about you, Danny?
For me, echoing what you were saying, like, America loves the underdog for the first 2 weeks, like the round of 64, the round of 32. All great, cool, Furman's in it. That's dope. My bracket's busted. But once we start getting to the Sweet 16 and Elite 8, like,
nobody wants to see that shit.
Nobody went, like, if there's one Cinderella in the Elite 8, that's great. Like, that's cool. There's still, but you know, like, once we get to the Final Four, like, we need the big dogs. We need the blue bloods. We need recognizable names, jerseys, and schools. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think we said it last year, UConn was going to be the national champion. I don't think, and that's the thing, right? Like, we knew it was like, it's UConn and it's not even close.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was boring. I didn't watch anything. I didn't watch a dribble last night. I was not interested in the national championship. I do not want parity. I want Kansas versus Duke for the national championship. That'll get me to the TV.
This is how I know that men's college basketball, they're definitely going to think about some tweaks. I don't think any, if you listen, most people last night was a little bit more worried about the Raw after WrestleMania than the national championship game. More people wanted to see Cody Rhodes and Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa versus the men's national championship game.
I will say, though, I really hope Big East basketball is back. I think, D, you know how much of a fan I am of the Big East, the old Big East, Syracuse, Pitt. UConn. Now you got UConn. Creighton's back. Rick Pitino's at St. John's. Georgetown is going through transition. I just really hope Big East basketball is back, because I think that's good for it. The Big East is.
The Big East being good for college basketball. I mean, the Big East being good is good for college basketball, bad for ACC basketball.
Yes.
So.
Correct. We'll see.
Shout out to UConn. Shout out to LSU, the men's and women's NCAA basketball champions. Both teams very, very well deserved.
And Andrew Reese's cousin played on UConn, so that family gonna be partying for a long time.
And they very much deserved it. And they very much deserved it. Speaking of which, do you think we should put any stake into the reports that So I don't know if you saw. Let me give some context here. So I don't know if you saw, but there are a lot of reports over the weekend, about the men's viewership for the NCAA tournament versus the women's viewership of the NCAA tournament. We talked about it earlier. 9.9 million viewers for the women's NCAA tournament. I don't think the men came close to that one. I think they were maybe in like the 4 or the 5s. Do you think the NCAA is going to put some stake into these viewership, or do you think they're going to chalk it up to the men's just not having the name recognizability in the Final Four?
I think they're going to chop it up to that. I think it's going to be, let's see what it looks like next year. Like, if this is starting to become a pattern where the Final Four is a 9 seed, a 6 seed, and 2 5 seeds, then we might have a conversation. So this might be, we'll charge it to the game. We'll see next year what this looks like.
How much longer do you think men's college basketball has with 2 20-minute quarters before they adopt the women? Adopt the same rules as the women for 10-minute quarters.
I don't know. It makes no sense. It's the only league where it's two 20 minute halves instead of four 10s. And while we're here, get rid of the possession arrow. I hate that.
God, I thought it was just me. Son, make these dudes jump.
Make them jump. Everywhere else on earth, if it's a tie up, it's a jump ball. Get rid of the possession arrow. I don't care. I don't care if it's a center and a guard. The NBA does it. Like, make them jump. I don't care about the possession arrow. It's so pointless. It honestly
feels like men's college basketball is stuck in like 1915, and we're playing like the 2022 version or 2023 version of like modern basketball, dog.
Yeah, like just set up wicker baskets. Like, what are we doing here?
And which like, I think the way the men's college basketball product is now is why there's so much emphasis on development for these college players before they get to the NBA versus some of their other professional counterparts. Like, outside of like the MLB, I don't know if other leagues are like having to take time to really develop minor league talent into professionals like the NBA and the MLB. Now, baseball is one thing because it's a lot of baseball players. You really want to work the farm system. That's been their thing. But I mean, we're talking about the NBA here.
We're talking about the NBA.
Come on, man.
Come on.
Speaking of the NBA, let's shift over there. So, Danny, we are in the last week of the regular season here in the NBA. I'm excited to get to playoff basketball, but Danny, we got to get through this week. So let's start in the Eastern Conference. So since our talk last week, the New York Knicks have now secured their playoff spot. And since our last talk, the Brooklyn Nets are still two games ahead of the Miami Heat for that sixth seed, which I think maybe a week and a half ago, me and you were like, Brooklyn's definitely out of here, but they're still holding on to that sixth seed. And the Raptors have secured their spot in the play-in. So the Raptors know they are making the play-in. So my question to you, Danny, as it stands right now, what are your thoughts on the Eastern Conference standings as we enter the final week?
Now we're just focused on matchup. Like, it's going to come down to the Bucks, the Celtics, and the Sixers. Everything else is just, we're here for fun. I think Brooklyn right now would be the Knicks and Brooklyn at 5-6. That'd be fun. What else we got? 2-7.
No, it's 4-5. It's 4-5.
Okay, my bad.
It's 1-8, 2-7, 3-6, 4-5.
Yeah, so right now, yeah, like 4-5. That'd be it's Cleveland, New York. That'd be the most interesting series. Again, for me, I'm not paying attention to the Eastern Conference until we get to the second round with some combination of the Bucks, Sixers, and Celtics are playing each other. The first round is going to be fun. Put it on NBA TV. Put it as the first game on TNT. Like, it's going to be fun, high scoring. But out of those three teams, no one has a chance to come out of these, out of those three teams. So what are we doing here?
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at it. You have Milwaukee at 1, Boston at 2, Philly at 3, Cleveland at 4, New York at 5. Then we got Brooklyn at 6. And then, like, look at the, I mean, listen to these teams from 7 to 10 in the East. Miami at 7, Atlanta at 8, Toronto at 9, and the Bulls at 10. Like, dog, I feel like if you're Milwaukee or Boston, you're looking at them four teams between the Heat, Hawks, Raptors, and Bulls, and you're like, we will smoke all y'all's boots. Y'all might get like a game or two off of us
with ease.
Yeah, but I don't know. I'm looking at the East and I'm I hear what you're saying. I don't think that 4-5 matchup is going to be as close as people are thinking. I think I'm starting to be a real believer that the Cavs are probably going to beat the Knicks probably in like 5, realistically.
Yeah, like it's like, again, it's going to be fun. Like, it'll be cool. Let me see, Julius Randle will have a game where he scores 40 and then Gardner's rocking. But like, okay, these are prime NBA TV playoff games.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. In the Western Conference, so since we last spoke, the Kings have officially locked their playoff spot in. They came home, you know, ended a 16-year playoff drought, came home. They got a good reception when they got back to Sacramento. And I want to take the time to really shout out the fine folks of Sacramento. I know there's a Laker-Kings beef. I got over that beef long ago. I know a lot of Kings fans are still upset about that particular playoff series. Get over it. Yasses wouldn't have beat anybody in the finals anyway. But I want to shout out all the good folks in Sacramento. You guys showed mad love to the Kings. You guys really deserved that first playoff home game. It's going to be awesome. We look at seeds 4 through 7, Danny. These seeds continue to be separated by 3 games.
Yep.
Right. Since we last talked, we can officially say the Trailblazers have been eliminated from playoff contention and playoff play-in contention. That's, they went ahead and shut down Dame Lillard.
Yep.
That's a discussion for another time on what the Blazers should do. And my Los Angeles Lakers, Danny, are catching real momentum. We're looking like we could actually give a team a fit in the play-in race and the play in the playoffs. I mean, we're starting to really catch momentum at a perfect, perfect time. So, Danny, after this last week of the NBA season concludes, where do you think we're going to stand in the Western Conference?
Again, I told you I'm rooting for Denver Lakers round one. So, however we get the Lakers to the 8 seed or the Nuggets to the 2 seed, I do not care. I think the Lakers can upset the Nuggets in the first round if Anthony Davis is healthy. That's first and foremost what I'm rooting for. Matchup-wise, I think it's really interesting. It would be Kings-Warriors right now. That sounds like a lot of fun. Right now it would be Grizzlies-Lakers. That would be fun. Suns-Clippers, that would be fun. Like, the West is going to be fun no matter how this shakes out. Like, as long as we get some combination of the Lakers getting in, I think the Thunder would be more fun than the Pelicans and the Timberwolves, but I'm okay. You know, they're going to be like, it would be really cool if we got like Grizzlies Thunder in the first round. Like, I don't think the Thunder have a chance, but to see Shai versus Ja, like, again, like, that's TV I want to watch. I think the West is a whole lot of fun. However it shakes out, they're going to be great matchups across the board. I just want Jokic versus Anthony Davis so Anthony can expose him, send him home, and he can come pick up the MVP trophy on his way to Cancun.
Listen, I'm looking at the standings now, right? If the playoffs were to start now, just based off the current standings, we'd have the Pelicans Nuggets. I kind of think that favors the Nuggets.
Yeah.
The Grizzlies Lakers, I'm going to be honest, I don't want the Lakers playing the Grizzlies first round. That's the matchup I don't want.
Really?
Yes, that's the matchup I don't want, because I think they can match up a little bit better versus us than we might want to admit. But at the same time, the Lakers control a lot of their own destiny. We play the Clippers this week, which is big, because if we beat the Clippers, then the Clippers, Warriors, and Lakers will be sitting right around 41 and 38. The Lakers can really control their own destiny to get to the 5th seed, which, if you would have told me maybe like a month and a half, 2 months ago, I would have told you there's no way, but there's a way. There's a will, there is a way. So,
no way.
I mean, I'm looking at it right now. If I'm the Lakers, I either want to get the 5 seed, but if you get the 5 seed, there's a very, very good chance you see Kevin Durant and the Phoenix Suns off rip first round. Here is what you would think. We wouldn't want that. But here's what I'm saying. If you're the Lakers and you get to the 5th seed, you're essentially looking at, the Suns, the Kings, the Grizzlies, and the Nuggets. If you're the Lakers at the 4th seed, you're looking at the four. If you're the Lakers at the 5th seed, you're looking at the 4th team seed above you. If you get to the 5th seed, you're really saying only team that we for sure know would give us real, real fits. KD and the Suns.
Yeah.
So if we beat them first, the rest of the field cannot fuck with us.
Okay.
Like, if I'm the Lakers, that's what I'm thinking. Like, if we can beat KD, D-Book, Chris Paul, DeAndre Ayton first round, what the fuck is goddamn Jokic going to do second round if we coming off of that type? What the fuck is he going to do?
Okay. I love the confidence.
Because assuming that the Nuggets win their round, you would let the Kings and Grizzlies, assuming they win their matchup, play each other second round, let them battle each other out. Listen, if I'm the Lakers, I want either the Suns or the Nuggets first round.
I want them to play Nuggets.
Yeah, I mean, so my thing is, if we play the Nuggets first round, like, that could be, I'd feel a little bad for Jokic. Jokic is at a point where people either want two things from him. They either want him to be embarrassed early in the playoffs, or they want him to just win it all. So then they can say, you've won X many amount of MVPs and you have a ring. Now we're looking at you as like a top 5, 6 center ever. Yeah. He gets bounced early again. Now they're like, okay, you have two, maybe three MVPs, and you consistently get bounced early. What are we doing here?
He gonna get that Giannis treatment two, three years ago.
Yeah. So I think, yes, exactly. That great comparison. I think that's where Jokic is starting to kind of bungee out. And I want to see him either embrace one narrative and stay in it, or finally get over the hump.
Take him to school, AD.
Listen, I will say this, though. He will get no love lost from me if the Lakers and the Nuggets play first round. It is what it is. But if they play someone, like if the Nuggets play anyone other than the Lakers first round, I'm actually going to root for them to win.
Okay. I won't.
But it's because, like, at some point, like, I want better for the fans of Denver. Y'all already got Mr. Broncos County coming back, running back for year two. That's already going to be bad enough. I want to see the Nuggets at least give you something to cheer for. I don't know. Who do you think wins most improved player this year?
I know. I just said his name. I don't know how he can get more improved, but Shy. Like, if you're a Thunder fan, like, dog,
he's a 2- or 3-time All-Star.
Yeah, that's true. Let me think on that. I haven't even paid it. Let me be honest with you. The Mavericks have been in this, whatever you want to call it. I ain't been paying attention. Like, you can give it to Jalen Brunson. You can give it to Lauri Markkanen. I don't care.
I think Lauri Markkanen, Jalen Brunson, or Emmanuel Quickley, who's currently favored to win. I think Emmanuel Quickley is likely going to win it. He's been on a real, real tear.
Oh, yeah, he has been on the tear. Yes.
Yeah, I think everyone in America knows Jaren Jackson Jr. is likely winning Defensive Player of the Year.
Shout out to the homekeeper.
Yeah.
Shout out.
Yo, I would love to go back to that person who put that conspiracy out here and see, like, have you been able to uncover any other new findings? Like, is this correct or incorrect? Let's see. Rookie of the Year, I think it's another one. Paolo Banchero, I think he'll easily win that one. Mike Brown is my Coach of the Year, bringing the Kings back to the playoffs. I think me and
a top seed in the West.
And a top 3 seed in the West. Embiid is my MVP.
Yes.
And then I know they introduced some new awards. Like, I think most clutch player is one of them.
De'Aaron Fox.
De'Aaron Fox will probably be my other one. And then I forgot what the other ones were. They're like sportsmanship awards and stuff like that. And I was reading them. I was like, yeah, that sounds good. But do they get cash bonuses for winning this award or nah?
Probably not.
Is that wrong with me? That was my first thought. Do you get cash bonuses? Do you get cash considerations for this? Sure. What do you think of the new NBA CBA while we're here? Some of the details that's been coming out about the new NBA CBA.
Only thing I want to know about, how can NBA players get sponsorships from gambling sites without promoting gambling? How does that work?
Hi, my name is Giannis Antetokounmpo. I'm a FanDuel's one of my sponsors.
Hi, hello. I don't gamble, but when I see that my point total is under 20.5, I am motivated to play. But like, how does this work?
Hi, my name is LeBron James. I don't gamble on the regular, but when I do, or if I did, I'd gamble with FanDuel.
Right. Like, how does this? I mean, now they can smoke weed, which is great.
Son, I need to know. Listen, athletes. I need to know, why do y'all want to smoke weed so bad versus all the other things you could negotiate in these CBAs? Not to say I don't think y'all should smoke weed. My real question is, why is it that all professional athletes want the ability? Like, why is that the argument that professional athletes
always want? You know what it probably is? Like, all their lives, they've probably been smoking trash weed. And now you're at a point where you make enough money where you can buy the best of the best. So all those years of smoking terrible pot, now I can get the good stuff? Yeah, I get it. Right? Like, in college, you drink Four Locos, you drink terrible stuff, and now we're adults. Now we buy things that are quality and that taste great. So I assume it's the same kind of thing with weed.
I don't know, man. I've like, the NFL players, they fought so hard for, like, for weed, just for them to get another game added. Like, oh, brother. Like, I don't know.
That's true, Gladys.
Gladys, for everyone who's listening to the audio adventure, said that maybe the athletes, professional athletes in particular, fight for marijuana because it helps with pain management without opioids. Definitely makes sense in football and makes sense in basketball too. So that could be one. Danny did Bam in the chat also said, man, Danny just did Danny just call it pot? Yes, he did. He also asked, what's next, Danny? Reefer? If you come on this broadcast, Danny, and call marijuana reefer, I'm going to mail you a cane and ask you what it is, young blood.
Both of y'all can go to hell. Bam, this is the second time in as many weeks you've gotten the show and you've disrespected me. One more time and you're out of here, bud.
Whoa, he said that's strike three, Bam. Yeah, but nah, Bam, last week, I ain't going to hold you. The nuts line had me weak. This is funny, too, the more I thought about it, because I was like, I thought, Bam, what you said, I thought in my head, but I was just going to keep that one under wraps. I was like, oh, my man called it pot? What is he listening? What year is he in? 1972?
Both of y'all go to hell.
In your free time, do you sing war? What is it good for? Absolutely nothing.
I hate it here. People, this is what bullying looks like.
Bam. In his free time, we're gonna see Danny on the national line talking about some, we don't want to go to war, Mr. President. War is not good for us.
This is how Caitlin Clark felt on Sunday. Just being taunted for no reason.
Nah, but on a serious note, so I think some of the details I found about this new NBA CBA is that there's going to be an in-season tournament.
Yikes.
That was egregious part one. Egregious part two is now you got to play 65 games to be considered for all NBA and league awards.
So,
ladies and gentlemen, if you thought the argument for Joel Embiid versus Joker is going to be bad, wait till dudes like Mikal Bridges start getting MVP votes and considerations because they played all 82 games.
I like that rule.
I think that rule makes sense for
Kawhi Leonard, MVP, will
but
never.
For all NBA,
yeah,
fuck no,
that's
though.
True. Yes, okay,
because there's like real money tied to this, which is another rule I don't think should be. I don't think all NBA. I don't think all NBA and contract extension and money should be tied to each other, because as we've seen in the past, some players don't get voted all NBA just because like reporters be pissy about them.
Yeah.
So, what other thing I wanted? So we're going to go back and talk about the in-season tourney. Oh, and then one other kind of thing that I was kind of reading about the CBA is that essentially the way they're going to start doing trades and cash consideration now, it's going to be a hindrance to teams that spend more on the regular versus teams that don't spend as much or spend the middle. So they're essentially trying to incentivize teams that spend less and kind of penalize teams that spend more. And when I say penalize, not penalize necessarily, but make you find a different way to go about getting these certain transactions done. I actually had a real big problem with this, because essentially what you're trying to do is saying, hey, Golden State Warriors, we know you're spending a lot going well over the luxury tax to try to keep your nucleus together, but we want to benefit the Indiana Pacers of the world out here who take their time and eventually end up paying a Miles Turner months and months and months after he's already threatened to hold out, so on and so forth.
Yep.
Like, I don't really like that. I think it's a little counterintuitive. Like, I get that you want good players to stay on mid-market teams and give mid-market teams a fighting chance to keep some of these players. But why does no one ever mention that sometimes no one wants to go to these mid-market teams? Because, newsflash, they fucking stink.
And no one wants to live in Indiana.
What millionaire wants to live in Indianapolis, Indiana, and get to the bag? Where are the baddies at? Now, are we talking or are we talking, Danny?
That's the social clip. That's the clip.
Like, what are we going to do? Fam, what professional basketball player in fucking... I'm trying to be respectful.
Oklahoma City?
Oh, I was trying to be respectful.
Utah?
What professional athlete in Oklahoma City wakes up every morning talking about some, oh, yeah, it's lit in Oklahoma City when I'm not playing basketball. There's mad baddies and there's mad things to do. You don't hear a professional athlete in Miami complaining about things to do in Miami. You don't hear a professional athlete in Houston complain about things to do in Houston. professional athletes in the Portlands of the world and the OKCs of the world and the San Antonios of the world and the Indianapolises of the world and the OKCs of the world and the fucking, I mean, I can go on with some of these professional markets that have professional teams, and they kind of are just like, all right, when I'm not doing my sport, what the fuck am I supposed to do?
What do they say in Utah?
Fam, oh my God. Fam, I just like, what does Talen Horton Tucker do after he finishes hooping in Salt Lake City? Goes and have,
he goes home.
Goes to restaurants where there's about 50 other Mormons in there. Not he to say that home. THT is one.
He's going home.
I don't like that.
Salt Lake is low key a sundown town, so he goes home.
Oh yeah, that brother's going straight home. I don't know. Like I get what the NBA is trying to do, but like,
yo, Bam, we not saying that.
Why don't we put more onus on these teams to build actual contending teams that would make star players want to stay? And why don't we also really put an onus on professional teams to develop their talent better?
Yeah, I mean, they do that, but they leave, right? That's the issue. That's why they the max contracts the first time around, that you can add an extra year with more money for homegrown talent compared to if you left, you only get 4 years. Like the NBA has put in those things. It's just no one wants to. Like Giannis is the perfect example for the NBA. He's been in Milwaukee. It's a small city. He's getting the bag. He's winning championships. Like that's the ideal situation. But for every Giannis.
But Giannis is also like 20 something. He's got a main job. He's got a main girl. He got a baby. He is like, he's in full dad mode. You can't tell a 23, 24 year old professional basketball player who young, lit, handsome, and can hoop at a very high level, who just so happens to hoop for the fucking Indiana Pacers. Like, fam, you can't tell me he's having that much fun in his off time.
Hey, if he want that fifth year max contract and that extra $20 million, hey, he gonna find a way.
My thing is, why? Listen, some of us regular people live in these boring ass cities because we gotta live in these boring ass cities for our job. But professional athletes shouldn't have to do that and have their money compromised as well.
Let's see, hold on, I'm pulling up Indianapolis. Like, let's see what's in Indianapolis. There's the Speedway. Let's see what's close to Indian. Oh man, Dayton is not too far away. Columbus, Cincinnati, all the baddies. Look at this. What else we got here in Indianapolis? There's the fairgrounds in Indianapolis. We don't want to go there. That's a children's
museum. Probably a few whites only fairgrounds.
Hey, yo, chill out. There's the golf course. Hey,
Indiana was the home of the KKK.
Oh yeah, it's true.
I ain't bullshitting.
Look at a half liter barbecue and beer hall. That look lit.
And I don't want this to come off like, I'm not talking about teams or cities or teams in cities like Denver. Like Denver to the masses may seem like a small market city, but if anyone who's actually been to Denver, you'll know ain't nothing small about the market of Denver, Colorado. And shout out Denver, Colorado, because I've been to Denver once and really enjoyed my time.
Let's see, how many strip clubs are in Indianapolis?
Hey, it's not. Listen, I don't think.
Damn, that's a whole lot.
Yeah, but what is the quality of strip clubs in Indianapolis?
Dog, there's one near the Children's Hospital. Hey, yo, what we doing? Oh,
I can tell you right now, if they got a strip club near a Children's Hospital, them strippers ain't hitting on nothing. Listen. Listen, I can tell you right now, if you don't have concerned mothers wondering why there's a stallion walking in some fishnet leggings and a robe.
You could drop your kid off for treatment and head to the strip club. It's 5 miles away. What a time.
And it's Indiana too. So you know that if they have a cover, it might be like $10 at the dough. I mean, dog. Let me stop because I don't want someone to tell me I can't come to the city of Indianapolis. They're going to say, yo, Indianapolis, a no-fly zone for you, I'm going to say. Okay. What do you think about this end-season tournament, though, that the NBA is going to implement? Because that was my biggest point of contention. What the fuck is this tournament going to do, dog?
They think they're trying to implement the same thing that WNBA doing. I don't know, man. Like,
oh, that's the Commissioner's Cup in the WNBA?
Yeah, so WNBA has a mid-season tournament. That's the Commissioner's Cup.
But what is it? What does it do though?
I don't know. Like, they win a little trophy. I don't know. Like, what is this? Like, in baseball, the All-Star game, the winner of that league has home field advantage in the World Series. Like, that's a good idea. Like, what is
this? They stopped that too, by the way.
Well, they did. Well, then why play the All-Star game? That's stupid. Like, I appreciate that the All-Star game had some sort of merit. Yeah, like, if you're the NBA, yeah, like, whoever, like, whatever. Again, but that's, I don't know, man. Like, what is the incentive to play in this midseason tournament? Like, what do I win outside of money?
And then outside of that, it's like, yo, if you're a coach, how do you prepare your team for this? Like,
right.
What if your team's already kind of start the season off bad? Y'all don't look like y'all are going to make the playoffs. But now you want to tell my team to get themselves up and ready for an in-season tournament that doesn't even benefit them in the playoffs if they were to make it. Now imagine you're a team like the Bulls or the Wizards that are mad off and on. Like, how do you get your team ready for these games just because it counts? Like, I don't know. Like, I saw a lot of tweets over the weekend of like people just asking like these players associations, like, are they really helping the players? Like, what is the players association really going in there and asking for that really benefits the players? And I'm gonna continue to, you know, continue to follow Ari, continue to follow Woj as they continue to kind of give details in the CBA. But I definitely, my initial thoughts from the CBA was just really like, how does some of this help the players and what they're trying to accomplish? I think the being able
players
to
can get more money
is one thing. More money is another thing. The sports betting sponsorships is another.
But you can't gamble.
You can't gamble. So I don't know, man. I don't know. I guess we'll see when this thing kicks in. I believe next season. So
I think so.
All right, Danny, we're here. I'm ready to talk about it. It was the grandest stage of them all over the weekend.
Yes, it was.
People, it was WrestleMania weekend. And boy, yes. If you are a fellow WWE fan like myself, like Danny, then WrestleMania is the – if there's one pay-per-view all year that you're going to make sure you watch from WWE, it's always going to be WrestleMania every year because you know some of the best matches – usually some guest appearances. Danny, I'm gonna start by asking you, what were your thoughts on the weekend? What were some of your favorite matches? And then we can obviously go into some of the bigger matches and their outcomes and what's next.
Gunther is that dude.
That was a great match.
Gunther is that dude. I'm glad Rhea. I didn't realize how many championships Rhea Ripley has won. Like, she's held Raw Women's Champion, SmackDown Women's Champion, NXT. And I believe she's held the Tag Team Champions, and she's held the NXT Women's Champion. Like, I didn't realize that until Saturday night. Like, yo, she the truth. I hope her and Bianca can kind of, at SummerSlam, unite the title.
Or like Survivor Series, one of the two.
Or Survivor Series, one of the two. Like, that's definitely something to look out for the rest of the year. I really wasn't surprised the Usos losing to Sammy and Kevin. The Becky Lynch match, oh, it was cool. Dominic pulling his belt off. I mean, Ray pulling his belt off and beat Dominic was reminiscent to a lot of people who understand what that is like. Bad Bunny was there. That was cool. Yo, the shoulder block Montez gave Braun Strowman, that was not fake. That was real.
You think he meant that?
Yeah, he might have put too much into it, but dog, that was not a bump by Braun. Like, Montez ran him over. I don't think Braun was expecting that. Like, yo, that was a safety hitting a defenseless receiver. Like, he knocked that move. Oof. Bianca, Asuka, that wasn't surprising. Bianca's not dropping the belt anytime soon. The Finn Balor Edge match had to stop because Finn got knocked over the head with a ladder. Did you see the wound after the match? That was disgusting, and they still went on.
Oh, yeah. Triple H said Brock, this show was going to go on, buddy.
Brock, Triple H said, you want to be here next year. You're going to do it right now. Brock almost wasn't shocking. Brock is not losing to no black man. I'll stop there because we're going to talk about Roman Cody in a minute, but I'll let you go and give your thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, Saturday, I would say overall, I think Saturday was better than Sunday. I just think,
yes.
I will say this. I for the Rhea and Charlotte match, I was losing my mind, yo. I don't know if I've ever, like, that is easily one of the best women's matches I have ever seen. Hands down, bar none. That was women's wrestling. No, that's wrestling at its finest. That is what pro wrestling is all about. What a fucking match by those two women. I was really happy to see Rhea Ripley being probably, I mean, she was really the only victorious member of the Judgment Day. So shout out her. That was an incredible match. I'm going to be honest with you. I was not happy about Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens winning that belt.
You know what? I wasn't either. Like, for me, if they lose, Roman had to lose too. And you have to break it all
break
up.
Break it
like,
all what up. Do you, thank you.
Like, where do you go from now? So did you watch Roman's press conference, like, after? So Roman's like, yo, there's so much more story to tell. And it's like, what is it now? Like, we've seen you, like, bully your cousins for 2 years now. You want to do it? Like, now we're back to before they won the Undisputed. Like, now we're summer 2021 again. Like, what more of the story can we tell? Like, I'm very intrigued to see. Because if
I think now they're going to do like a retribution story where like they kind of work themselves back in his good gracious.
But we've seen that though. We've seen that.
There's going to be a flip on it. I think it could be a flip where like they feel disrespected and turn on him.
Which is cool. And Roman's by himself with Solo and Paul Heyman while the Usos go do their own thing, break it up a little bit at a time. I can get down with that, but yeah, I was disappointed that Kevin and Sam, I know that's what the audience wanted. I know it got the pop, but yeah, I feel like the Bloodline storyline with all of them being champions has a lot of juice left because you can give Solo a belt. You can give him the United States Championship from Austin Theory, mm-hmm. and like now you have like an absolute, and if you really want to go hard, you can give Solo the United States and the Intercontinental, but we don't want to touch Gunther right now, like he on fire. But yeah, you could really make the bloodline.
Yeah, and I mean, my thoughts exactly. I was sitting there like, because after Saturday, I was like, yo, is this really the end of the bloodline? Like, I'm a fan now. Y'all got to milk this. The match was good. The match was awesome. I think I came away from the matches wondering like how they would kind of play that one on. And then Sunday, okay. Last thing I would say, I knew you were gonna lose, John. I'm still upset that you lost.
Yeah, not to Austin Theory. Like Austin's not good enough to be even old John Cena.
But they gotta get him over. Cheat. They got to get him over as a champion.
Yeah, but I didn't like that either.
I think it's do you think that Triple H, Vince is still trying to work Austin Theory to be like a real?
I think so. Like Austin's going through the same thing Roman went through 3 years ago. Like and I don't know if Austin's going to push through like Roman.
Yeah.
Cuz Roman looks like the guy. He just needed help from Paul. Austin doesn't look like the guy. Like Austin doesn't look like a world heavyweight champion. He looks like a good intercontinental champion. Mm-hmm. Like Gunther looks like a world heavyweight champion.
Austin Theory gives me like Baron Corbin-esque vibe.
Yes. That is a great, yes. And he doesn't, like at least Baron looked like the guy. Mm-hmm. Like Austin doesn't even look like the guy.
So Sunday though, I'm going to be honest with you, Becky Lynch and Lita already, they've already ran their course for me. They might have already.
Dog.
I can look at Trish Stratus all day. I think I'm just over Lita and Becky Lynch.
It was cool for a month. Lita's 40.
I think it's because I know that Lita is older and like this has an expiration date. So now I'm like wondering, what's the expiration date going to be? Is Becky Lynch going to turn on these two and fight these two women herself? Or are these two women going to turn on Becky Lynch?
I don't know, but we need to wrap this up.
Yeah, I'm wrap that up. And then the main event, my brother. Also, Gunther, you're going to hold that belt for a while. That is what what is the IC and the US titles are like secondary championships, right?
Mm-hmm.
That is what a secondary champion looks like. I don't know if he's a heel. I don't know if he's a face, but damn it, you can't beat him.
Can't beat him. Like once, like that, like when he lasted the Royal Rumble, it's like, oh, Oh,
I see what y'all doing, right?
Yeah. Oh, he's gonna be a next champion one day.
He is up next. Now to the match of all matches, the main event, Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes. I am not gonna hold you. One, what a hell of a match. What a hell of a match. I knew it was a good match because at the end, when Cody hit two Cody cutters in a row, I was on my couch like, this motherfucker. I was like, this motherfucker really is about to win. And then, of course, Triple H, you sly bastard. The only way he was going to win, by his cousin who got thrown out, hitting him with the Umaga throat spike. Come on.
Love it. Here's my thing, though. If Cody can't dethrone Roman, who on the roster right now could legitimately do it?
There isn't one. Not.
Like, you got to start building Seth Rollins now to be ready for SummerSlam. Like, he is the only person but even I can think of.
So my thing there is like, there's probably like, what, three, maybe four people who could realistically beat Roman Reigns, right? Seth, Cody, Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Gunther.
No, not there yet.
Not yet. I'm saying, like, come holler at me in December.
No. It's a while. Them are really the only three. Seth, Cody, The Rock.
I think that's it. Like, Bray, they keep building Bray and up so to tear Bray down.
And so the thing about it is, if you're going to beat Roman, you have to beat him at one of the majors. The Royal Rumble, WrestleMania, SummerSlam, or Survivor Series. It's got to be one of those four. I don't know who beats him anytime soon. Like, I really do not see him losing that belt for like another calendar year.
Yeah, like, what do you, dog? He's gonna be the longest reigning undisputed world heavyweight champion
ever.
Like, unless like the Usos abandoned him and he has to actually defend the title by himself against Cody Rhodes at SummerSlam, which may be the case. I don't know, man. Because if Cody can't do it at WrestleMania,
Cody's now got a Brock Lesnar problem.
Dog, that last night's Raw was so lazy. Can we talk about that for a second?
No, we want to talk. Yo, son. So I watched the Raw after Mania, and last night, ladies and gentlemen, the main event was Brock Lesnar and Cody Rhodes versus Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa. I watched the entire Raw waiting for this tag team match just for us to get 2 seconds after the bell rung. And Cody Rhodes got hit with an F5 by Brock Lesnar and then proceeded to get his ass beat all over the arena. Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa didn't even step foot into the ring. Fam.
Roman got the best contract ever.
I was sitting there like, Cody versus Brock Lesnar?
We don't want to see that, though. Dog, I don't want to see Brock Lesnar in a ring. I don't care.
So that's at least two pay-per-view matches right there. The match at Backlash and then the rematch.
Like, we don't, I don't want to speak for you. I don't care for Brock Lesnar. I don't care, man. You can't wrestle. Like, it's just a bunch of suplexes, a couple F5s. Thanks for coming by. Like I get it for WrestleMania season, but dog, get him out of here. I don't care.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how they're gonna do the booking with Cody now, but
because Cody has to beat he has to beat Brock, because Cody's the only man outside of Seth right now who can beat Roman realistically. So if Brock beats Cody, you have nobody.
Yeah.
No one has been built up to, unless you sign a free agent. I don't know who you sign off the street. You go get Dean Ambrose, he's like, who do you go get? Right, like MJF.
Is he a free agent right now?
He's not. That's what I'm saying. Like, that's what it's going to take, though, right? Like, or MJF to beat Roman.
Honestly, I'm at a point now where if you're going to keep Roman with the belt, then let's rev this thing up into super gear and let's go on a run to make sure this guy's the longest reigning champion of all time.
Yep.
Let's just do it now. Because I think that does the championship better. I think that does WWE better. And I think that puts more asses in seats. Just give him the full. Give him the full Floyd Mayweather treatment.
Or do you think they take one belt away at a time, right? So it's like, yo, I'll challenge you I challenge you for the Raw men's belt. He loses that. He slowly spirals out of control until he loses both.
I don't even I don't even think that does it because
I don't like that story.
Me either.
Let them hold it till next year.
I also don't like that story because why would y'all unify it if you're just going to break it up?
I mean, it'd be more so the storytelling of how Roman, the island of relevancy, becomes no more. Right? It's more so focusing on his mental state, him falling apart slowly over the course of time compared to just he loses one match and loses both belts.
Maybe. I don't really like that story, to be honest.
I don't either. He needs to hold the belts till WrestleMania next year.
Well, only time will tell. I'm curious to see who they book him for at WWE Backlash, although I think it's going to be like a tag team thing. I think he'll be teaming up with
him. Yeah, I think he only defends the titles.
The big ones.
Yeah.
All right, buddy. We got a couple quick hitters. Quick hitters first.
Yep.
So I was doing some research. And I found out that only four teams are eligible for Hard Knocks, right? So get this. To be eligible for Hard Knocks, it has to be a team that didn't make the playoffs the last 2 years and hasn't been on it in the last, I forgot how many years.
It's like five, right? Yeah, like and you five. Can't have a new coach. Yep.
And you can't have a rookie head coach. So that leaves us with four teams. And I'm going to ask you these four teams, and you tell me who you think HBO is going to pick for Hard Knocks.
Okay.
New Orleans Saints, Washington Commanders, Chicago Bears, New York Jets.
So it needs to be the Commanders because we need to see the sell of this team and we need to see Dan Snyder running around burning files so the feds don't come arrest him on HBO. It's going to be the Jets, though. The Jets are the most interesting.
Easily the Jets. Out of that department.
It's the Jets. It needs to be the Commanders, though. Like, I need to see Dan Snyder in his office talking to the FBI, saying something like, if you want me, come get me. Like, that's what I need.
First off, they wouldn't put that in an episode of Hard Knocks.
Yes, oh, yes, they would. You don't think HBO would put that, a federal indictment, a man getting arrested on? Dog.
What are you going to get arrested for?
For stealing from the owners. Like, he's been lying. Dog. He's been to Congress. Like, the Commanders would be the funniest, but it's going to be the Jets.
I'm going to be honest. If they do the Commanders, I think that's not going to do the NFL the justice that they think it's going to do. I think it's going to do the opposite. I think it's going to expose some things about the NFL that maybe should not be exposed. I don't think it's going to be the Commanders for that reason. I am with you. I think it's going to be the Jets because I think there's a lot of stories you can tell. I think the first two episodes are going to be about the debacle that is this trade deadline and how they've been working to kind of get Aaron integrated and then start talking about, you know, they got a lot of young players so they can, you know, tell the story about like a Breece Hall, about his recovery, about a Sauce Gardner, his recovery, Garrett Wilson, not his recovery, or his personality, Garrett Wilson, his personality. I mean, the Jets, they got a recently new head coach that I don't think, you know, the masses know too much about. The Jets feel like the choice.
And he's a person of color and it's the Zach Wilson angle.
Oh yeah.
Like, how does Zach act when Aaron's there?
Oh, yeah.
Dog. Like, for like, I just put a camera in the quarterback's room. That's all I care about. Yeah. Like, Sauce is interesting. Like you said, Sauce has an interesting personality. Mm-hmm. Breece's recovery. Mm-hmm. The country doesn't know much about Robert Saleh. He's a man of color in an NFL position. That's going to be part of an episode. You got Quentin Williams, same guy who sneezed and blessed himself during his after he got drafted.
I do the same.
There's a whole lot of funny dudes on that team. So it's going to be the Jets.
So you originally said the Commanders. I said the Jets. We are both going to be wrong when they announce it's the Chicago Bears.
And no one will watch. Like, no one cares about
Justin Fields. If they put the Saints or the Chicago Bears in HBO, I promise you I'm going to just watch that like the week before the season starts because I have nothing else to watch.
I'm going to bed early.
Yeah. And Jets. If y'all don't land Aaron Rodgers, I still think everyone in America is going to want to see that Hard Knocks.
Yes. It's going to be even funnier because now you got to go back to watch them grovel to Zach Wilson and Robert try to act like he believes in him.
Oh, man. Looking forward to it. I enjoy that. I want to see who they're going to get for the in-season Hard Knocks.
I forgot about in-season Hard
Knocks. It's not bad either. Like, the in-season Hard Knocks was not bad. I like the way they didn't do as much storytelling as the preseason Hard Knocks, but I think for obvious reasons, they don't want to tell too much about the team's business. Then, Danny, our other quick hitter section, other quick hitter topic, the Australian Grand Prix. I might do an ISO here because I don't know if you watched the Australian Grand Prix.
I did not.
All right, I'm going to do an ISO here. Round three of the Formula One season was in Melbourne Park in Sydney, Australia. I'm going to let y'all know right now, if y'all think watching physical sports is one thing, watching automobile sports is just as frustrating. First off, want to shout out to Max Verstappen, who won that race wholeheartedly, very easily. Lewis Hamilton came in second, and I believe Fernando Alonso came in third. But this should have been a Red Bull 1 and a Mercedes 2-3. But Formula 1 and racing in general, they have really, really weird rules. And this was just one of those where essentially what happened was there was a crash early in the race. And usually when there's like a safety car, this gives an opportunity for cars to kind of come in. If they want, you can come in, pit, get new tires, and then get sent back out there. If it's a safety car, now if it's a red flag, then everyone can go inside. Like essentially a safety car means slow down and stay in your order, but you can it's an optional pit stop. A red flag means everyone might as well just go put new tires on. Essentially what happened was there was a crash early, and one of the Mercedes drivers who was leading the race, literally leading the race when this crash happened, when they put the safety car up, he changed his tires. In the midst of the safety car being out, they then throw out a red flag. So they literally went from a safety car to a red flag. So then when he came out, once the red flag came out, everyone then came in to put their tires on, but he was already on the other side of the track by the time everyone had gotten the red flag to put their tires on. So when he came back and met up with the rest of the lineup, he went from first to seventh, and there was nothing, that could be done. About two laps later, his engine collapsed. He ended up having to retire from the race.
Oof. That's tough.
That's fam. And there's nothing you can do. Like, because in motorsports, there's like when you fuck up the car for that race,
that's it. Ain't no backup.
You out. And I could hear the pain on his face. I could see the pain on his face. But shout out Max. Max would have won that race easily, regardless. He won by 3 seconds, which in an automobile race, you should imagine how fast 3 seconds is. But shout out to Mercedes. Get first podium of the season and just keep on rocking, man. Red Bull has a rocket ship. I don't think anyone's going to be beating Red Bull much this year. But hey, as long as Mercedes can keep it competitive, that's all I can ask for, man. That's all I can ask for. All right, Danny, we have one more thing. Let's speak to the cinema. Now, I know Succession came back this week. That's not my bag yet.
Okay, so you don't watch Succession. Okay,
I've seen episodes. I have not finished season, so I'm an ISO, and I'm gonna let you handle this. It's all you. Let me know about this new Succession season.
So this is episode two. This is week two of the new season in the final season of Succession. I don't want to give away too many spoilers. It's just a great show. It's great writing. It's just a bunch of rich white people doing rich white people stuff and arguing about who's going to be the biggest billionaire. So when you think of it from that lens, it doesn't seem very important. But the family dynamics, I know Twitter be on here lusting for Shiv. It's just a great show.
She don't look bad. Shout out to redheads out here. I've heard good things about Succession. Succession is in my lineup of shows that I'm going to finish now that we're slowly finishing our basketball season, baseball season slowly ramping up. Succession is one of those shows I'm gonna go back and watch. Right now my list of shows to finish before football season starts: finish Snowfall, finish The Sopranos, restart, then finish Succession, and then restart and finish Breaking Bad.
What season of The Sopranos are you on?
Mid season 5 or beginning of season 6.
Okay, so. I think we've talked about season 2 being the best season of Sopranos.
Season 2 was, listen, The Sopranos, I just wish I was like more older and cognizant when The Sopranos was really hitting, because I just felt like my life trajectory would have been a smidge different.
Dog, for me, I know we've talked about it on here before, but season 2, it's just, the number of slurs that Tony comes up with for black people. Like every week it's a new slur. And it was so funny. I have never heard
black people be called. I've never been a fan of a main character who was so clearly racist. It would not like my kind.
Like he is, like he was in his bag. It was hilarious. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. And Bam in the comments said, and start The Mandalorian. Bam, I'm currently watching The Mandalorian. So The Mandalorian is one of the shows where Marvel shows and Star Wars shows, I actually do a better job of keeping up with. Although Andor is a show I plan on going back and finishing.
Okay.
So, hey, your boy's got, you know, I'm in part of the time of the year where I really got to watch my shows because from September to April, it's football and basketball season, man.
Yeah, man.
Danny, anything else? You know, anything else? We covered a lot in this hour and 20, man. We got a lot of talk here.
We got a lot, and I have nothing else. I will say, the trailer to Secret Invasion dropped. That looks amazing.
It does look good.
And then the trailer for Blue Beetle dropped.
Ah, I saw the trailer, but haven't really watched the trailer.
It looks really like, okay, James Gunn.
DC on the come up?
Blue Beetle looks really interesting.
What do you think happens if DC actually starts picking it up and starts catching Marvel?
They got a long way to go. Marvel's so deep in their bag and in the storytelling.
But like,
DC is on Iron Man, Thor.
I will say the thing that DC has is, DC, I think, has the more popular superheroes in everyday households.
Yes, and Marvel's better telling stories.
And so I think that if DC starts getting together with you got to nail the Batman, the Superman movies first.
Yes.
Once you start doing that, I think some of these shows that they have on HBO, you can start incorporating them. Some of the other characters you have in the DC universe, you can start incorporating them. I think DC, once they figure it out, I think their ceiling is going to be higher. I think Marvel's floor is higher, but I think DC's ceiling can be higher if they start figuring out what the fuck they can do with, like, dog, you have Batman and Superman. You have Batman, just Batman, the greatest superhero of all time. Like, come on.
Start with Robert Pattinson's Batman. Build the DC universe. Like, the Batman. Like,
you think that's the Batman, Robert Pattinson?
Like, I know they're not, that's separate, but man, like, that's one of my favorite Batman. Like, I don't like rewatching movies, but I will rewatch the Batman.
Really? I'm gonna rewatch it again. Like, I liked it.
Like, I think they got the Riddler perfect. I like that rendition of the Joker. I think Penguin Colin Farrell nailed it. Like, it's just dark enough. And then, of course, you know, Catwoman nailed it.
Mm-hmm. So, I think where DC went wrong, they should have never let Christian Bale and what's his name? Heath Ledger. They should have never put Heath Ledger and Christian Bale in the same on the same screen. I'm going to be honest with you. Yeah. They have never been able to do it as good since The Dark Knight. And they have been chasing that Dark Knight-esque Batman movie since. Instead of just embracing that was just a generational performance by two incredible actors, but you have to move on.
For me, it's casting Ben Affleck as old Batman. Like, what are you going, like, in Batman versus Superman, Batman is killing people and we get no explanation to why. Like, that really, like, I know why, but like the normal fan, like, why is Batman killing people? That goes against everything he stands for. Like, for me, that was like, all right, like, where we fumbled something here. Like, Batman is killing people with no explanation.
Yep. I just figure out once they get the storytelling part of Batman and Superman down, I'm not gonna say recast. Once they get the storytelling down for Batman and Superman, I think some of these other superheroes are gonna come together.
That's what Flashpoint is for. Hopefully Flashpoint resets the whole DC universe.
We can only hope, my brother. Danny, let the people know where they can find us, man.
Find me on that Bird app, DannyOcean41. But most importantly, follow the show on Twitter, Instagram, speak on it _pod. Again, that's speak on it _pod. Send us your questions at speakonapod14@gmail.com. For those on the visual adventure, it's on the bottom of the screen. For those of us joining on the audio adventure, again, it's speakonapod14@gmail.com. Send us your questions. We're always happy to answer them. They do not have to be sports related. We're here to help you in every aspect of life that we can.
Absolutely. I love it, man. Yeah, make sure you guys follow the pod on Instagram, on Twitter. Danny, I've also been thinking maybe we should get into our TikTok bag. Maybe starting to...
I'll leave that to you.
Get into our TikTok bag.
That's a young man's game.
Yeah, on that. Well, so the only reason why I haven't created our TikTok account yet is because I'm waiting to see if TikTok will get banned, because I don't want to create an account for us that for an app that might get banned. But
I think you'd be great on TikTok.
Maybe. We'll see. Maybe this face, you know. Make sure y'all follow the kid at Los D-Mix. That's LOSDEEMIX. That's LOSDEEMIX on Instagram, on Twitter, on YouTube, on Twitch. We are outside, people. Let me tell y'all something. It is April 4th, 2023. We is up. We
crazy.
Is lit. I can't believe we already here. We are four episodes away from episode 100.
Crazy.
It's crazy. It's unbelievable, but we here and we doing the damn thing. Danny, I'm gonna get us some music to get us out of here, but are any last words? I actually have a few last words if you don't have any.
I do not.
People, you could have been anywhere in the world, but you were here with myself and with Danny. And if you're here, that means God bless you with another day of life. And if God bless you with another day of life, then all you can do is your very best. All you can do is go hard another day. Because if you don't go hard for you, who is going to go hard for you?
Hey, the bag talk is to there. Him.
Bags are meant to be chased, not fumbled.
Talk to him.
Come on now. We are here for one reason and one reason only, to spread love and to get bags. And if you're not spreading love and you're not getting to that bag, then what the hell are you doing?
Talk
sending
to
money
him.
To Uncle Sam for no damn reason. That's what the hell you're doing. Wake up, look in the mirror, decide that yesterday was your last day, saying that yesterday was the last day.
Talk
and that
to
today is the day that you going to do what you planned on doing. Whatever it is, that thing you planned on doing, yesterday was the last day that you was going to say, I can't wait to do that. Tomorrow is the day to start doing whatever it is you want to do.
Talk to him.
We'll see y'all again next week. But until then, make sure y'all speak on it. Talk to him, Cole. Talk to him, Drizzy. Love y'all. Speak on it.
We out.
Huh? Hey.